Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. It's major week, third major of the season, talking U.S. Open to get you ready for your DFS lineups and much more. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Another major on our hands here, and it seems like people are pretty excited about this one, so this should be good.
It's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, you're closer to the area than I am, obviously. So Pinehurst is a big deal in the golf world. So
it is.
We'll definitely crack into that. But before we get there, we'll spend a couple minutes talking Memorial because neither one of us got to watch a ton of it. I kept checking scores on my phone from time to time. But in the end, Scottie Scheffler showed that he's still the best in the world. And it's kind of not close. Like, at least, you know, he won by one, but it just felt like it was his the whole time. So any other takeaways you might have? Scottie's a beast. Morikawa finished well. Hovland slipped over the weekend. He looked like he was coming for it. Other than that, it's pretty much my biggest takeaways. But what do you got?
Yeah, same. I mean, Scottie's really good at golf. Morikawa playing well still.
Yep.
You know, Oberg was there. Hideki had a good showing. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could have watched more of it because it looked like it was a pretty difficult golf course, especially on Sunday. So wish I could have seen it, but I was playing a 6-hour round myself. So
ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I didn't get to see any of it.
I thought I had it bad. I was out of service for 8 hours on Saturday cooking for a wedding, and then yesterday is water parking with the kid, and I thought I had it bad, but 6-hour round of golf, it's rough.
Yeah, I mean, the Memorial is one of the funner golf tournaments to watch because of the way they do trick it out on Sundays, or even Saturdays and Sundays. It wasn't 800 pars is, you know, a pretty low score in PGA Tour standards. So especially for these elevated events, a lot of times they make the courses, they don't trick them out like Jack does, but I'm glad that they do give them this test at least once or twice a year. So, and then obviously it's a pretty good warm up for what's coming up this week.
Definitely. Like, I wish, I can't remember if on the air or off the air last week when I said, I wish they'd have like a U.S. Open or a PGA at Jack's place, but you made a great point that the members would probably have a little bit of an issue losing the course yet again. So the bright side is you could almost have a U.S. Open the way they already had it set up last week. So you have to do a whole lot to it, which is fun. So
yeah,
guess we'll see how that goes. But yeah, Scottie, I saw somewhere a fun stat. He has made over $24 million this year.
Yep.
He had 21 million last year, like 17 the year before. That's just insanity. Like if you think about the grand scheme of things, but pretty impressive stuff there for Scottie Scheffler. And he's a favorite again this week. So we'll get to that. But before we do, I didn't watch it. I know you didn't, but for those LIV Golf fans, Carlos Ortiz won. That was fun. The Carlos Ortiz won. Who? I got you. The Cleeks won the team. That was fun.
Mm.
Bland is running things over there, but that's I said to have some fun with that. That's all I saw. But I did. The reason I bring it up is we like to talk about like how people played well at the Memorial. It's a good test for the U.S. Open. Like we can like see the form coming in thing. Well, you know, Houston's not the biggest comparison to probably a U.S. Open venue, but Brooks did finish. I believe it was first in fairways gained and like top five or something in greens and regs. And that's pretty much what we're looking for the most part. So he's at least finding the way, it sounds like.
So. Yeah, I don't. Did you see the pictures, like the side by sides of like their like aerial shots versus the aerial shots of the Memorial?
Just no,
the crowd sizes that there was no crowd in Houston at all whatsoever.
It doesn't. And then I saw Liv was tweeting out pictures of the beer booths that lines were like so long you couldn't get a drink in Houston. So
yeah, I don't know.
It's hilarious.
It is, man. I mean, let's just figure it out. Let's get it back together here. It
sounds like they kind of are because Rory said they had like a almost 5-hour like video conference on Wednesday, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. And he basically laid out groundwork for like a 2026 type setup. So it sounds like they're at least moving in the right direction, and we might have something in a couple of years. It won't be anytime soon, but we'll have something which will be a lot better than it felt like about 6 months ago. So
yeah, we'll see.
All right, let's talk U.S. Open. Obviously, event we haven't been to this course since 2014. But what do you have for us for some past event history at the U.S. Open?
Yeah, so Wyndham Clark was the champion last year, 10 under, one shot over Rory at Los Angeles Country Club. Matt Fitzpatrick was the 2022 champion, 6 under, one shot over Scotty and Will Zalatoris at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. 2021 was John Rahm, 6 under, one shot over Louis Oosthuizen at Torrey Pines. Bryson won 2020, 6 under, six shots over Matt Wolf at Winged Foot in New York. Gary Woodland won at Pebble Hills.
Pebble Beach.
Brooks went back to back. Aaron Hills and Shinnecock Hills, 2017, 2018. 2014, which is the only year that matters, at least recently, because it was played at Pinehurst, number two. And Martin Keimer won 9 under, eight shots over Eric Compton and Ricky Fowler.
That's a leaderboard, folks. That is a who's who of stuff. But it's going to be a fun one. You mentioned Pinehurst, number two, back into 2014. This is a par 70, 7,550 yards. So it's a pretty long par 70, all things considered. Donald Ross designed it in 1907. It got renovated after the 2010 tournament by Crenshaw and Company. They took out all the severe rough because they wanted it to look like a lot of the North Carolina courses where it's not a ton of rough, but a lot of like native area. So you'll hear it here. On many shows, not here, but in general, you're going to get a lot of wire grass is what they've planted to replace the rough. To me, it just seems more like a beachy version of fescue when I see pictures and stuff. Obviously, I've never played in it. You probably played in it more than I have. It's more kind of sporadic where fescue is just like you're going through a hayfield.
Right.
So it just seems like so. And even some guys have said it in practice rounds. You might be it's like a coin toss. Like you could land in an open area. It's almost like playing Phoenix. Like there's cactuses and then there's open stuff. And if you're in an open area, you're good. Or you could be right up in that stuff and you're just kind of SOL and you're punching out. So that's kind of one thing. I did see some videos today and we'll see how true this is. There's like 15 to 20 yards of like this native area and then it's like wide open. So it's really interesting to see where that's at. That might be where spectators will be. I don't know.
There's a lot of trees on the golf course too.
Okay, it's a very tree line. Have you played Pinehurst?
No, I've never played Pinehurst. Never been to Pinehurst, but I've watched it a lot. So they had a day, I'm guessing, 2 weeks ago or something, where they let a bunch of YouTube people come and play. And they, like, shotgunned them off. So they've all been putting out these videos of the golf course. So it's a good representation because they're all playing from the tips. But, yeah, it's not really – there's the fairway native area, like you were talking about, which is 50-50, maybe depending on where you hit it, whether or not you get a good lie. And then you got a lot of trees, like just tall, like pine trees.
Yeah. So that'll make it interesting. There's really no water that comes into play, but you will have bunkers all over the place. And the biggest thing is like, yes, we're saying there's not a ton of problems, but of course you want to be in the fairway because these greens are going to be hard. It's the U.S. Open. It's what they do. So you need greens in regulation, long iron play. The longer the iron play, the harder it is to stick a green. We know the story behind all of this. And you get that Bermuda green that can be bouncy and sticky. So running it up there might not be always the most consistent thing. We'll see. But like I've been watching some stuff this afternoon on Golf Channel, and they're showing just even different approaches. It's like they showed Keimer was using the putter around the greens. Because every time you'd hit a wedge, you'd hope it would bounce up. It was like 50-50 almost on those type of shots. So you want to have greens and regulations, but if not, you want to be great at scrambling. You want to be great around the green. That's going to be a big thing because I don't think we're going to see like those old school minus three U.S. Opens. But like you said, Keimer had minus nine. It could be a lot like Muirfield last week. So you still need to avoid bogeys. You need to get it in. Par threes are very tough par threes, but gettable for long iron players. So long iron plays and around the greens kind of the biggest factors for me this week. You're obviously going to need luck box putting, but these greens are going to be wild there. Wyndham Clark already said in his Monday presser that these greens are almost getting out of control already. So that's something to think about as the week goes on. Does the U.S. Open decide to let Zach Johnson and Phil Mickelson go crazy, or do they water them a little bit? But that's kind of it for me. Like there's way better course. Like you mentioned, I think Friday got a whole visual thing that was pretty cool on their YouTube website. There's a couple really cool ones out there. So it's a long golf course. It's a great golf course. And as long as you're not completely going haywire, you should be in play. So what do you have this week?
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I noticed too is they've lengthened it quite a bit. So a lot of these tee boxes, this is going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. Cause a lot of these tee boxes are going to be close to, or like in weird spots in relation to the previous green.
Okay.
So I anticipate really long rounds, cause you know how these guys are, like they're not hitting when somebody else is potentially going to hit, and like, it might be a clusterfuck, but
that feels like a British Open setup. There's a lot of courses on those links courses like that. A lot of them. And those are long rounds. Those are very long rounds.
So. Right. Cause there's just a lot of waiting for somebody to hit or this or, you know, whatever.
God forbid you see someone swing while you putt, like at any other muni you ever went to.
But, well, they, you know, typically we don't have fans cheering whenever. So, I mean, I get it to a certain extent, but I mean, anyways. I think, you know, Kevin hit us up with a DM earlier in our group and was talking about, you know, it doesn't really matter so much off the tee. It's more of approaching around the green. And these greens are tricky. They're all turtleback greens. So if you miss it slightly one way, you know, it's going to be down into either like a native area, a bunker, or, you know, just in the fairway kind of grass. So getting it up and down is really paramount, because obviously it's really difficult to hit all 18 greens all week, and it's going to be really long. So long iron play would be something else that I would wait, but mostly really focusing on around the green, approach to the green, you know, bogey avoidance. And there's not really a whole lot of course history. Obviously some of these guys have played in 2014, but that was 10 years ago now, which is insane. So your Martin Keimer, I don't think is going to be there this week. And
the captain of the cliques, I think he's good.
The thing about Keimer that year was he was like an absolute world beater. Like he won the players by a shit ton. And this was back when the players was closer to the U.S. Open. Anyways, he just had a hot streak and obviously blew the field away, shooting 8 under and winning by, or 9 under and winning by 8 shots. I don't see that happening. I do think it'll be closer to, you know, maybe 5 under, depending on how hot Scotty gets, how many putts he can make. But when he wins, it's probably going to be like, you know, maybe 5 under, because I do think that they're going to bake these greens out. Another thing is it's not supposed to rain between now and I think the end of the week there, and it's supposed to get hot here. It's supposed to be like in my neck of the woods, like in the 90s by the end of the week. So we're almost the same latitude, longitude, I don't know how you want to say it, whatever that is. They're a little bit further south, so it's liable to be really hot, really dry. And I mean, I hope that they don't. They obviously have to keep the greens alive, but I don't want them to.
Yeah,
I want it to be painful.
Yep.
You know how we do. Me and
you. Oh yeah, that's why Wyndham basically was making the comment he made, because the weather's, it's going to be making it out to bake it out basically if they want. Like they could bake this bad boy out pretty strong. So now sticking things on those greens will be even tougher, which makes the scrambling even more imperative, like you said. And like, right before we started, Johnson Wagner was doing a demo only the way Johnson can. The guy's pure gold, absolutely pure gold.
I agree.
Because he's one of us now that he's not a pro. And he was showing the difference. Like, first off, like each green, like you mentioned, he'd throw it right in the middle. And if you missed it by like 2 yards of the flag, it was funneling off the green, like you're talking about, into this whole waste area.
There's going to be a lot of bitching. There's going to be a lot of bitching from these guys.
That's why he was showing, like, you know, this lob wedge, 8 iron, putter. And it's going to get real dicey. The post round press conferences might be pure gold on this week. Like, might be pure gold. Those instant reactions could be, and good stuff. But there's a lot of what ifs we could talk about. But let's talk about what if we could win some money on DraftKings and talk about some picks for the week here. And we have Scotty alone at 13K. I think we can all agree the dude is like first in almost every category I'm looking at. After Scotty, you got Rory at 12-1, Xander at 11-5, Rahm at 10-9, Bryson at 10-1, and Brooks at 10,000. So three live guys wrapping out the 10K range with Xander and Rory right above them. Rahm withdrew with a foot cut over the weekend in Houston. So what do you like it on this 10K range?
Yeah, it was very odd. Did you see the video of him swinging? And
yeah,
it looked worse. I didn't.
It looked way worse. Like that was not the first thing that popped in my head. Was a cut and it was like between his toes.
No, yeah,
that wasn't him.
I was like, he just fucking broke a ligament or yeah, or snapped his. I don't know. It was very strange. Obviously, Scottie Scheffler. I mean, it is what it is. Next, in my opinion, in this list, I think it's Bryson. You know, he's shown up this year in both the majors so far, and you know, coming off a solid 18th place finish at LIV Golf Houston, great finish there for him. But in between him challenging guys on YouTube, like with old clubs or kids clubs or something he just bought at Walmart,
or a date with Paige,
you know, yeah, or playing Paige Sprannick, whatever. He's doing some weird shit on YouTube, and it just blows my mind that, but whatever, it is what it is. Bryson would be the next guy for me in this list. Xander, obviously, playing really solid golf, coming off an eighth place finish last week, won the PGA Championship, second at the Wells Fargo. You know, if it wasn't for Scotty, you know, you would probably argue that he was playing the best golf in the world right now. And then Rory, you know, was fine. I'm not going to play John Rahm. I wouldn't. And Brooks, I mean, you know, he finished fourth here in 2014, but I don't know. I've not seen enough out of him at the real golf tournaments to be like, he's worth it.
Hey, I don't know if I could take this live slander much longer. Real golf tournaments. Come on now. But yeah, it's Scotty by a long shot. But then I like pretty much everybody in this round, but Rahm. Like Rory seems like he's starting to turn the corner a bit. I think Xander's amazing. You know, he just did win a major at the PGA, nearly won before. Like, he's been playing probably the best golf outside of Scottie Scheffler right now. So, I'm with you on that one. Like, his bogey avoidance is second in this field. Greens and regs, second in this field. Scrambling's third in this field. Approach is fourth in this field. So, he's pretty darn outstanding. Obviously, those are all behind Scottie Scheffler. But, so, I like Xander quite a bit. Bryson is – I'm curious to see what the ownership looks like on a guy like Bryson when you have – I think Xander and Scotty pretty popular up top, and everyone loves Brooks because they just love Brooks because it's a major, and that's what we do in these right. Of the woods. So Bryson could be a real fun one if you want to. I know that the numbers are skewed because we only have his major rounds, but again, it's against some of the best of the best. So I kind of almost like that in a sense. So his last 24 rounds, like he's 10th in bogey avoidance, 5th in greens and regs. Like he's putting very well. The long irons are just always hit and miss with Bryson. That's what we know. So he's a very interesting GPP play. I won't talk anybody off Brooks. He's still 7th in my model, considering all his rounds are majors now. Like, that's still pretty impressive. But, yeah, it's pretty much Scotty and Xander for me. But I don't mind some Bryson and Brooks if you want to take some gambles. 9K range, you got Vic Hovland at 98, Ludwig at 96, Morikawa at 94, Cantlay at 92, and Wyndham Clark at 9,000. Did you see any of the Ludwig stuff about he wouldn't talk about his knee injury?
No.
Yeah, some reporter came out and said he's basically playing with like a torn meniscus or something in his knee.
Oh, God.
And then somebody asked him that after the round. He still finished fine last week. Somebody asked him after the round, and basically he told everybody, it's none of your business. I'm playing golf. So, like, just, like, leave me alone. I'm like, buddy, this is pro golf. That's not how – when your company's in bed with DraftKings and things, yeah, that's not how this works anymore.
Yeah. That's the weird part about professional golf is they're all independent contractors.
Yeah.
So there's no injury reporting requirements or anything like every other sport on earth. But for me, do what?
Sorry, I said so that was odd, but yes.
We're like in this range. Victor Hovland, obviously, he was right there until the back nine on Saturday. That's one the little bit that I got to watch was on Saturday and watched him shoot part of his 77, and then he followed up with a nice little 75. But I think going back to him is fine. I love Colin Morikawa at 9,400. I was hoping that he wasn't going to be the top, like in the 10K range, and they didn't get him in 10K range. So I'm going to try my best, and I haven't done this yet, but Scotty and Colin, first two clicks for me. So love Colin Morikawa. Second last week, fourth the week before, 16th, ninth, third. I mean, he's got it figured out now that we're not in a putting contest here. Like, you know, he finished fourth at the PGA Championship, which was basically a putting contest, and he made zero putts on Sunday. So just keep that in mind when you're you're talking about Colin Morikawa. I love him at 9,400.
Yep, I'm with you. Like, if you, for some reason, if you want to skip the 10K range, which you don't need to with 5K golfers, Morikawa is the best play up here. It's hard to say by far, but feels like by far. We've talked about him pretty much every week of late, how he keeps getting better and better. He's somehow sixth in my model, fifth in bogey avoidance, 12 in greens rig, third around the green. These are all over the last 24 rounds. Long iron play is pretty darn good, so I'm with you. And, like, we make fun of his putting over the last 24 rounds. If you just stroke gain putting, take that for what you will. It's different greens and everything. He's 45th in the field. He's better than half the field. So he's not even – he's improving, at least in that direction, where a few weeks ago that was a bright red on my charts. So I love Morikawa. I'm with you on that one. I'll go back to Vic. Vic was outstanding the first 2 days. Over the weekend, it blew up in a just disastrous way. Like, it was bizarre. Like, it was, like I said, I wasn't watching. He was even started out round three good, got to like seven under. I get back to cell service, and he shot five over on the day. And I'm like, what the hell happened? And I think he shot two or three over on Sunday. He's getting there. He really is. So I think he's a good – like, the way I feel about Bryson in the 10K range as a tournament play is kind of how I feel about Vic. I think they're really close, and they can cut. I wouldn't be shocked if come Sunday they're in the final group type thing. So – both of them are there, but Morikawa's my dude. I'm with you on that one. Pretty easy for me. Like, how he isn't in the 10K range, I completely agree with you on. That is quite surprising. Maybe it's because he'll miss the cut and we're both idiots. 8K, JT 89, Cam Smith 87, Max Homa, who's just kind of been floating around at 86, Tommy Fleetwood at 85, Willie Z at 83, Fitzpatrick 82, Finau 81, and Hideki at 8,000. Hideki, you'll be chalk. What do you like in this range?
Isn't it weird that Justin Thomas is $8,900?
Yeah.
Given this range and given Jordan Spieth is $7,900.
That's fair. Yep, that is fair.
I think it's an odd price, but that makes me want to play him. I think he's playable. Just my model seems to like him. And he did miss the cut in 2014, but four straight made cuts for him, two top tens sprinkled in there. Tommy Fleetwood, 8,500. I mean, he's the guy that, like, you play at all the hard golf courses when it's just ball striking. And so I think he's fine. Tony Finau, another guy at 8,100 that I feel this is kind of like the American Tommy Fleetwood. He never wins anything ever, but he'll come out of nowhere and top 10. Like, last week he finished 10th, 18th PGA Championship, 55th at the Masters. Not great there, but either way. And then Hideki at 8,000, another guy who just gets red hot with his irons. You know, when he starts hitting them to 2 or 3 feet, it's very easy to make the putts. And you're not missing the green that way, even if you – because, you know, you hit one that's 15 feet on the wrong side and it might be – end up 45 yards away or 45 feet away, probably more is more realistic. Because the runoffs are there, but it's not like it's running back to you in the fairway or anything on most shots. So eighth place finish for Hideki last week. I like him quite a bit.
Well, we're pretty much on the same guys. I like JT. I've been liking him for a while here, and I think he's been mispriced to me. Like, finished 33rd last week, but and prior to that was really getting it tuned in. If we're talking long irons from 170 to 200 over the last 24 rounds, he's 22nd in this field. He's 11th in greens and rig, 13th in bogey avoidance, 12th around the green. So it's been his putters destroy him. He's 140th in this field. And we've talked about that many times. Like, it's been his putting that's kind of kept him out of a lot of things. So I don't mind going back to him at $8,900. I love Fleetwood at for everything you say. Like, Fleetwood's a dude that I think it was – which course? Was it Aaron Hills where Phil was putting it before it finished? It was one of the ones Brooks won. And I can't remember if it was the first or the second one Brooks won.
Yeah, it was probably the other one because Aaron Hills was playing really easy.
Okay. So it was the other one. And I remember Fleetwood was the guy that, like, went off in the second group, and then he shot like 8 under before the conditions got bad, finished like top 5. That's what Fleetwood does in majors, like you said.
Yeah.
He just, like, hangs around. Next thing you know, he's top 10, and we're all happy. He's 10th in my model because he's actually playing good golf also. One reason why he plays well at courses like this, he's 4th in scrambling over the last 24 rounds. He's 6th in bogey avoidance. That's what you want here. That fits the mold. That makes sense. I like your Finau comments. And then I love Hideki. Hideki is second in my model. He's first around the green. He's second in scrambling. That checks out. 7th in bogey avoidance. Long iron plays great. There's nothing for me not to like about Hideki. As long as his back is in play, we're good. I pretty much play him weekly. And for the most part, as long as he doesn't withdraw, it's been pretty good of late. So love Hideki at 8,000. He should be very popular this week. 7K range, we'll group it together. Spieth, Hatton, Lowry, Thagala, Cam Young, DJ, J-Day, Tom Kin, Min Woo Lee, Corey Connor, Sam Burns, Robert McIntyre, Sungjae, Binion, Ricky Fowler, and Justin Rose. What do you like in the 7K range?
Start with Heath at 76. I don't like a lot here, but I do like him. 12th last week. He missed out the Canadian Open, but was 12th PGA Championship. Second at the Heritage. Been showing up in big events this year. Corey Connors at 7,200. When we talk about ball striking, we always talk about Corey Connors, and he hasn't missed a cut in forever. Going along very nicely. He didn't have a great greens and regulation week last week, but has been hitting it significantly better. So I like than they did last week anyways. I like Corey Connors. So those are the two. Those are the only two. I mean, there's some names in this range and plenty of other players, but those are the only two that I have checked off in this range.
All righty. For me, in the 7K range, Hatton at 78, I always find myself back to. I know it's been an up and down. That's what, well, it's his personality in general, but guy's got a really good short game. Iron play is not horrible. Just a matter of, can he just like avoid the blow up personally and on the golf course? I do think he's interesting at $7,800. Lowry shot an 80 on Sunday after being in contention, and most of my lineups had Lowry and Hovland in them. So if you want to know how my weekend went, that sums it up.
It was 85.
For you. Oh, 85. Sorry, I tried to black it out.
42, 43. Yeah.
That's rough. That sounds like one of my game, my rounds. I'm a 16 handicap. I'm a 16 handicap. I shoot 85s. I've done that. But I don't mind going back to Lowry at 77. Again, it's a putting thing most of the time from Lowry. Like if we talk long, 175 to 200, he's 13th in this field over the last 24 rounds. It's just get your stuff together putting, and the short game can be tough. So Lowry, if you have like down to a final two, he could be the odd man out. But I think if you're building 20, don't sleep on Lowry. Tough conditions can play well. I love Sahith. I'm with you. Like when we talk approach game and whatnot, Sahith's a beast. So I like that at 7,600. Love Connors at 72. And then the other one I have here is Sam Burns at $7,200. He's 25th in my model. He's 15th in greens and regs, 11th from 175 to 200, 23rd in bogey avoidance. And it seems like he's like figuring things out of late. Last week finished 15th at the Memorial, 10th at the RBC Canadian, missed cut at the PGA, but 13th at Wells Fargo. That's top 15 and 3 of the last four events. That feels pretty good to me. So Sam Burns at $7,100 would be a guy I'd be interested in for that price tag for sure. 6K range, we're not reading all these out loud. So who do you like here?
I like four of them up top here. Russell Henley at 6,900. He made the cut, finished 60th here in his appearance in 2014, but last four starts are 27th, 23rd, 10th, and 12th. So he's playing really solid golf. Alex Noren, another guy who's been hitting it very well. He did miss the cut at the Canadian Open when I finally decided to play him, and then he made the cut again last week. Greens and reg was terrible last week, but you just needed to make pars basically, and I guess that's what he did mostly. But he did finish over par for the week. Yeah. Either way, playing fine. Keegan Bradley, I love Keegan at $6,800 here. So he finished fourth here in 2014, has been playing really solid golf of late. 43rd at the Memorial, not great. Shot 78-80 on the weekend.
Man, that Jack got that place hard on the weekend.
Yeah, it was fucking tricked out, dude. I mean, like, I'm surprised there wasn't bitching. If it was anywhere else besides Jack's place,
yeah, no one's bitching to Jack. No one's bitching to Jack, period.
Played well at the PGA Championship, played well at the Masters. So he's shown up in big events this year. I like him quite a bit at that price tag. Dean Burmeister, been playing live, played well at the PGA Championship, finished 12th, 18th last week in Houston. Not great. Only hit 61% of the greens, but the model seems to like him for whatever reason. Aaron Rye at 6,400. Has made a bunch of cuts in a row. PGA Championship showed up. I think he's playable for sure this week. Bezuidenhout. I wish I played him last week. I touted him and I meant to play him and I did not do it. He had really good course history last week. Finished fourth, 17th at Charles Schwab. He didn't miss the cut to PGA Championship, but bounced back at the second day with a good round and just missed the cut. Played well at the Players earlier this year. Arnold Palmer made the cut. So that you're kind of more difficult events. He's been showing up and playing well, and that's all I got.
Yeah, we have some similar. I love Henley. He's eighth in my model. I by looking at the rankings, you'd be like, how is he $1,600? But the finishes have not been there to make him higher, but definitely looks very good for this golf course. Don't mind Norn, he's 20th, and my model went back to him last week. He said, like, not a great finish, but got back to making cuts and doing what Norn does. Siwoo Kim could be one of the interesting ones here. He's 24th in my model. Over the last 24 rounds, 6th in approach, 25th in bogey avoidance. And like, he's been a very intriguing name of late. He finished 15th at the Memorial, 56th at Charles Schwab, missed the PGA, 16th at Wells Fargo, 13th at Byron Nelson, 18th, 30th, 17th, 6th. Those are a lot of really good finishes for Siwoo Kim. Now they're coming in here and getting him at a price tag of $6,800. Don't mind taking that kind of chance. Love Keegs. I think people should know, if they're listening to the show long enough, that I would love Keegs at this price tag at 68. Any tougher golf course, give me all the Keegs you can get, because he's great at pars. Like, he's really good at pars, but he's got that upside as well. So I like some Keegan Bradley. Billy Horschel ranks 15th in my model. He's 18th around the green, 6th in scrambling, 12th in bogey avoidance. Phenomenal putter over the last 24 rounds.
Finished 23rd here in 2014.
Oh, there you go. See, I did not have that. Finished 15th at the Memorial, 24th at Schwab, 8th at the PGA, 52nd at Wells Fargo, won the Corrales, 17th at Houston, 12th at Valspar. I'm not going to read them all off, but he's actually playing good golf, as much crap as we like to give Billy Horschel. $6,600, that's a dude that he's better than this price tag when he's back to the old Billy ways. Let's put it that way. I'm not saying he's going to ever be there because he's getting older, but he might have a little something in him here at $6,600. Sepp Straka at 65, if you want like a boomer bust play, he's 13th in my model, 12th from 150 to 175, 7th in greens and regs, 9th in bogey avoidance. He putts well. His scrambling's pretty solid. So I like Sepp at 65. I love Aaron Riley, like you said, at 64.
Real quick on Sepp, dude.
Yeah.
How insane is it? Fifth, the one time I play him, PGA Championship miscut, 8th, 5th, 16th in his last 6 starts.
Yeah, he's a boomer bust cheap. As long as he's...
That's crazy.
One of it's his putter's inconsistent, but the biggest thing with him is just when he has a blow up, he blows up. He's like Tyrell Hatton away.
Yeah.
Like they have a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yes, I agree.
Like there's a lot of similarities. But yeah, when they're on, they're just going to continue to plug along and give us good finishes. Not sure he'll ever break through, but he's going to be there. And that's why at 65, I love that for tournaments. Seabez at 62, I'm with you, 12th in my model. And then the one other one I'll mention down here that kind of stood out to me, and 21st in my model, that's Seamus Power at $6,100. He's 21st in approach, 14th from 150 to 175, 26th in scrambling. We're talking $6,100. His putter's been his biggest detriment over the last 24 rounds, but 27th at the Memorial, missed at the Canadian, 16th at Wells Fargo, missed at Byron Nelson, 12th at Heritage. So, you know, that's in the three elevated events, he was 12th, 16th, and 27th. Missed the cut at the other two, so there you go. But at $6,100, there might be a nice cut upside with his top 20 appeal, which could be interesting as well. Who do you like in the 5K range? Sorry,
this is tough, dude.
It's very tough.
I don't know why I got something. I think they just added some new guys. They were checked off for me. Matteo Manicero at $5,700. Kind of is in this field.
I love how yours says Mateo, mine says Mac.
Manicero, European Tour guy, 13th and 3rd, or 23rd in his last 2 starts. Miscut, but then 5th, has a win this year on the European Tour. Martin Keimer is in the field. That's crazy. Come off a fucking 9th place finish at the PGA or at the Live Golf Houston.
The Cleeks won the team event, man. They're coming in hot.
They showed up really well. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know what else to say about these guys down here. Isaiah Saldana.
These are a lot of those qualifier guys. You're just like, what?
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. I'm sure that there's one or two down here that are going to show up, but I just don't. I don't see myself going below, you know, probably Bezuidenhout at 62. So yeah, I hope you got somebody. I don't know what to say, because most of these guys, like, they're not playing where we're getting stats for them. So I don't know.
It's tricky. If I'm down here, I'm not going below 58. So at 59, I got Adam Svensson, guy that did win last year. I'm not like in love with him, but he did finish 27th at the Memorial. He's made 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 straight cuts, but only one finish or two finishes inside the top 30. So pick your poison there. Svensson, Mac Messnier. I could be wrong. I only have 18 events for him here, but he's got 24 events. He's 18th in my model, which is weird, but 57th at RBC, 5th at Charles Schwab. That's not doing a lot for me. Justin Lauer and Grayson Sig would be the other two guys. They're 22nd and 59th in my model. Lauer is actually 5th from 175 to 200. He putts great. He's 17th from 150 to 175. So he's a phenomenal long iron player. Scrambling is his issue. So if he can find a way to not to scramble a ton, which is probably difficult here, he could be interesting. And then Grayson Sig, I can always think of him kind of like as a poor man Sepp Straka a little bit. But he's about $1,000 cheaper too. It actually checks out. But yeah, I'm cool with like playing two 6K guys if you have to. I don't really want to get in the 5K range. So
yeah,
that's where I'd be. All right, let's recap things real quick, Jesse. Outside of Scottie Scheffler, who do you like in the 10K range?
Bryson.
I'll go with Xander, but it's a fun range as usual. 9K range, I know.
Colin.
Say it. I'll go Vic to be different, but it's Colin with the bullet. 8K range.
Hideki.
Yeah, so I'll say Fleetwood to be different, but it's Hideki as well. Second in my model, I'm still shocked by that. 7K range, pick two.
Thigala and Connors.
I'm going to go with Burns, and I'll go with Hatton. Who do you have in the 6K range? You pick two if you'd like.
Hinley and Keegan.
Hinley and Keegan. I'm going to go Keegan. I'm not going to be cute in this one. Give me Keegan. Give me Sepp Straka on that one. We'll skip 5K. Let's just be honest here. If you're playing cash this week, how would you start out a cash line? Because this is a very volatile tournament, people.
Yeah, it's in its top 60 out of 157. So the 6-6 percentage is going to be extremely, extremely low. Tommy Fleetwood, probably Hideki. And then that's tough. Connors would probably be okay. But if you like, we're going back up toward the top to like grab somebody, like maybe somebody like Vic.
Morikawa.
Yeah, for sure. But he's on my
GVP
team.
Yeah, so. Like Morikawa, Matsuyama, and Fleetwood would not be a bad start to a GPP also if you wanted to. Probably would be a start to one of my GPPs. If you're building a GPP lineup, how are you going about that?
Yeah, it's Scotty on every team. Colin, because the thing about Scottie Scheffler is, I was thinking about this the other day, like even when he doesn't win, like he's top threes. Yeah, well, that, but like, so he's second at the Charles Schwab. He gets 104 points. PGA Championship, he finishes eighth and gets 97 points. I know that was a really high scoring event, but I mean, more often than not, he's still like, he's obviously you really need him to win a GPP, but you know, how often are we really doing that? So it's Scotty, Colin, Morikawa, and either Keegan or Russell Henley.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I'll go with Morikawa, Matsuyama, and where was my guy down? Go Seabez at 62. That gives you a lot of wiggle room in between. If you want to go up high, go down low, whatever you prefer. That gives you a lot of wiggle room. All right. What do we got for bets this week?
What we need is you to figure out a good baseball bet before Thursday, like a guaranteed winner,
to pair and then with
we
Scotty. Juice it.
We parlay Scotty and get him up from the 3-1 that he currently is.
I'll text you. We'll be good.
All right. Otherwise, like I don't mind a combination of like Morikawa and Scotty. Like so that parlay, if you go top 10, Colin winner, Scotty is 9-1.
That's not bad.
Not terrible. If you wanted, like, if you're really gambling and you wanted to go top five parlay there, it's 15, almost 16-1.
I'm a sucker. I just keep the top 10 probably.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I don't really like juicing it all the way to, I mean, because he's plus 320 to top five, and it just gives you obviously some more wiggle room there. I'm interested to hear some of your top 20 bets because, yep. I mean, like, as far as some value goes, you know, I mean, like, I would bet Colin Morikawa at 14-1, Bryson at 18-1. You know, Hideki at 40-1's got some legs there. Finau at, you know, maybe probably would be better like a top five for Finau, 11-1. But yeah, your top 20s are what I'm gonna bet this week. I don't think I'm going to bet anybody to win except for Scotty with a combo of somehow, some way.
Matsuyama's plus 150 to top 20. That seems pretty exciting to me already out the gate. Tony Finau plus 210 to top 20. Kind of like what he does.
Yeah.
This shows you how the DK price on Sepp's weird. He's plus 230. He's right behind Tony to top 20.
Yeah.
So Sepp's priced up much more in the betting market. Sam Burns at 230 is not bad. I think Russell Henley at plus 240.
That's crazy that Sepp is hot, has lower odds than the defending champion and Jordan Spieth.
Yep.
The top 20.
That just stands out to me. Does this mean it's gold? But there is something to watching the market for his prices because prices came out way before this market was set. So keep that in mind. Keegan at plus 250 would be another one to keep my interest. Seabez at plus 300 if he gets hot again. That's got some upside. Billy Ho's plus 360. Like, there's a lot of fun top 20s here. My God. I remember last time I got into the plus 300s and actually liked them.
All right.
That's interesting. If you want like a long shot just for, you know, shits and giggles, I wonder what Tiger not to make the cut is. That could be fun.
He's plus 650 to
top 20.
Top 20.
Uh-oh. I wonder what does not make the cut is.
Wonder if, oh, yeah.
If you want an out of nowhere, oh, let's just see what his top 40 is. Let's not even get cute here, real quick, for what I was thinking. Grayson Sigg to top 40 at plus 210. He was plus 750 to top 20, but you can get a plus 210 to top 40 if you'd like. But those are just a few of the ones I like. There's a lot of fun top 20s. A lot of
for sure.
All right, final thoughts as we wrap up a U.S. Open preview.
I don't have much except for make sure to just jam Scotty in as much as possible. He might have some historic ownership this week. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think people are past the who cares, or past the, oh, man, he's 3K, we can't play him. I think they're all past that by now.
Yeah, I mean, and he's obviously just the massive, massive favorite. So I do hope there's a little bit of drama. We'll see. I think it's, if you want a good feel for the golf course, just get on YouTube and like just Google Pinehurst number two. There's so many videos out there with all these guys were playing it. So otherwise, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Should be another fun week.
And there's awesome golf coverage. I actually screenshot of this to make sure I remember it. For those that are curious, Thursday starting at 6:30 a.m. till 5 p.m. it's on USA, and then Peacock from 5 to 8. Friday it's 6:30 to 1, it's on Peacock, 1 to 7 on NBC, 7 to 8 on Peacock, and then Saturday and Sunday USA and NBC for the entire day. So like, there's a lot of coverage of the US Open. Now, does that mean we get golf shots? We'll see. But the only downside is you have to listen to Brandel Chambly, which I'm not excited about. Not excited about, because it's just his podium to preach. But that's a whole other story for another day, probably. But all right. Good luck, everybody. We'll be back with you guys next week for another elevated event. No, elevated event, major elevated event. Great scheduling. the Travelers Championship next week. That'll be a doozy. But we'll be back with you guys on that one. But for now, make sure y'all check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Intrick, and the podcast is at Always Press DFS. And this was your 2024 U.S. Open preview. Catch you on. The show goes on all night till the morning we dream.